From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of July 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And then Mike Barwinski, a senior trader at Louis Dreyfus Commodities in Kansas City, will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. At the bottom of the hour, Don Day will join us for the agricultural weather forecast. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And in between, we'll hear from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Those are the five top corn-growing states in the nation. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat at $5.34¾, a settlement price 7.5 cents lower. December at $5.61½, down 7¼. The March contract for the soft red at $5.80 in Chicago, down 7¼. Hard red September in Kansas City settled $5.65¾. Down 5¼. Back in Chicago, nearby September, in the corn pit at $3.11½, down 11¾. December corn, $3.22, settlement price down 11¾. March contract, 11¾ lower, $3.35¾. May down 11¾ at $3.45½. And July, the oddball, it finished 12 lower at $3.54¼. From the soy complex, nearby August beans at $10.14½, down 18½ cents. September at $9.41½, down 19. And November soybeans, $9.05, down 18 cents. January futures, $9.12¼, down 17¾. And the March at $9.17, down 17¾. August soybean meal at $3.22.30, down $2.10. August bean oil, $34.77, down 57. August live cattle at $86.02½, a finish 77½ lower. The August feeders at $1.22½ lower, finished $103.25. And the August lean hogs at $62.50. We're down $2.15 on this Tuesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $64.72 a barrel, a settlement price down 74 cents, rather up 74 cents for the day. Ethanol futures were lower, down 2 2/10 cents at $1.53¾. And the natural gas at $3.70¼ up 1 2/10 cents. The RBOB, that's diesel fuel, $1.80¼, up 1 8/10 cents. Heating oil, which is actually the diesel fuel, at $1.69¼ is 0.8 cents. The RBOB gasoline, just what it says, RBOB gasoline. Propane August contract now, 76¾ up 7½ cents for the day. Gold futures at $9.46.60, down $1.90, and the Dow at 88.72 is just about 24 points higher for the day. U.S. dollar at 78.92 is up 0.01, and the CRB index on the afternoon at 246.83 is up 1.78 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast from the two-state region looks like. At this hour, our own Mike Solis says in the north should be mostly cloudy for the evening, with widely scattered showers and possible a few isolated thunderstorms. In the southern sections and eastern Indiana, cloudy, showers and thunderstorms. Some of those will be locally heavy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Lows will range this evening, says Mr. Sola, from 57 in western Illinois to 65 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow in northern and western Illinois, partly sunny skies, a few showers possible. In southern and eastern Illinois, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and perhaps a few thunderstorms. In Indiana, cloudy, some occasional showers and thunderstorms, especially in the south and the east. Highs will range from 72 in eastern Indiana to near 80 in the western part of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us today is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about this downturn in the market for the day. What do you tie it to? Anything in particular?
Well, I think the crop ratings yesterday afternoon showing a slight increase, number one, when we were expecting a slight decrease. Generally, this time of year in mid to later July, where we see, the crops just aren't as pretty. The fashion show just isn't as good, even if they are progressing good. And we've had such ideal weather that these crops are just looking fantastic. As far as that goes, we had some statistics out of the University of Illinois that shows us over the figures showing over 160 bushel corn crop compared to the close to 154 that the government did in the last report, which puts us up in a very, very big carryover. And no real threatening weather showing up here for the next, the 6 to 10-day forecast and on out that way, and the 30-day forecast being put out by a lot of private weather forecasters, looking like the beans should finish well also. So all that rolled together just sort of put a lot of pressure on the market that didn't have much other news in there today.
Put much pressure on the market. I did make note, that is, that the corn futures now seem to be riding along fairly consistently with the price of oil. There was some at one point where the economists from Illinois and Purdue, Ohio, some of the other places had suggested that the two would move together often, and it looks like that might be the case, and that if you just simply divided by two the crude oil futures, and right now we've got August at $64,
mm-hmm.
You could come up with a price for corn, and you've got the December contract at $320 or $322, I suppose.
Yeah.
So that looks like that seems to be just about right. Do you think everything is back into a situation where it's in balance, and can we depend on that movement of the crude oil and the corn together?
Well, I don't know if we can depend on it, but at least it puts things back in perspective as to hopefully get back to activating some of our idled ethanol plants back to where they can make a profit and use up some of this corn, because we're producing it, folks, and we need to use it, or else it's going to get down to the point where our production costs are going to be highly exceeding the corn price.
So I suppose that really is the bottom line, is whether at this price corn can stimulate demand. And
yes.
Over the long haul, this is a high price. Over the short term, certainly, this is a very low price for corn. What do you think? Can demand be stimulated at $320?
Well, I think we'll see some pickup here, Todd. I'm sure hoping, as we look around, I think they said that the ethanol margins have increased last, I didn't see it today, it was yesterday, it increased the last 5 days every day a little bit. So, along the way, I think that's a good thing. We know that with the sow cut back by Tyson and everything like that, that hogs aren't going to eat as much corn. The cattle herd's been cut back, the egg set's been cut back, so our feed usage is down. We have to have some more exports, or we have to have ethanol usage for this corn to be ate up or used up, and not the carryovers continue to grow. So we're sure hoping that crude oil can stay up around the $65 mark, sort of a stable mark, not go on up from there and get crazy like it had in the past, but hang in there so it is profitable to run our ethanol plants and keep a good outlet for our farmers.
What do you make of the soy complex at this time?
Well, I think, there's a couple things. Number one, we've still got the month of August. This is very important to us, but we had some tremendously big premiums built into these old crop beans because of the tightness, the way July and the Noves worked, and then, of course, with the August as far as it went along the way. And, the way corn has backed off and everything, we're still looking at over $10 August beans, I think, by China. Being willing to auction off some of their stocks tells us that they feel somewhat safe in making it through into the next crop year. Along the way, and some of that premium, it's sort of time for it to maybe evaporate a little bit. Now, of course, we looked at some of the news wires today telling us how that we're going to see some tremendous use of beans, shortages in South America, and they're going to stay tight for the next year. So beans are probably going to keep their premium and stay between the $9 and $10 mark here for at least a little bit till we see a few more things happen, Todd.
It would be a ratio that would be highly unusual with corn at 320, though.
That would be beans a lot more profitable in comparison than the corn would. It sure would. And you know, like I say, I didn't say that we were going to stay there forever as long as corn stays down by any means. But you know, it's not a surprising fact that we saw the beans back up today. And when you look, 11 compared to 20 cents, it's generally a 2-to-1 ratio that the beans sort of trade on when they come off, and they're just going on non-news for the day.
Okay, thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media, public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can find on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the USDA released its crop weather summaries. They look like this. For corn, by the week's end, USDA says 31% of the nation's corn crop was at or beyond the silking stage. That was on par with last year, but 23 points, or slightly over a week behind the five-year average. Despite significant jumps in development during the week, large phenological delays remained in Illinois and Indiana, where the corn crop struggled to overcome setbacks caused by a slow start to the planting season this year. Overall, 71% of this year's corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition, unchanged from a week ago, but up 6% from last year. On the soybeans, blooming advanced 20 points during the week, leaving progress at 44% complete, says NASS. Slightly ahead of last year, but 18 points behind the five-year rolling average. Overall, 67% of the soybean crop rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 66% last week and 61% last year. Nationwide, last week, winter wheat producers harvested 6% of their crop at 72% complete. This year's harvest is on par with pace from a year ago, but 5 points slower than normal. With over 5 days suitable for field work, producers in Nebraska, Ohio, and Colorado harvested the largest percentages of acreages at 27, 26, and 25%, respectively. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending July 19, 2009. Iowa cornfields added a color other than green last week as tassels appeared seemingly overnight. Crop development steadily advanced despite cooler average weekly temperatures, although progress remains behind the normal pace. Lower rainfall totals also gave low-lying cropland a chance to drain. With the near-record low mid-July temperatures reported throughout the state, little if any livestock stress was reported and weight gain was good. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work during the week compared to the five-year average of 5.4 days. Topsoil moisture rated 95% adequate to surplus and subsoil moisture rated 96% adequate to surplus across Iowa. The corn crop was 45% tasseled, 31 percentage points more than last week, but behind the five-year average of 64%. Corn silked increased 20 percentage points from last week to 26%, 19 points behind the five-year average. Corn condition was rated 80% good to excellent, up 1 point from last week. Soybeans reached 60% blooming with 14% setting pods, both about 4 days behind the normal pace. Blooming ranged from 74% in northeast Iowa to 40% in south-central Iowa. Soybean condition was rated 78% good to excellent, 1 point better than last week. This is Greg Tayson reporting from USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 19th. Cool temperatures averaging nearly 7.5 degrees below normal swept across Illinois this past week. In addition, average rainfall accumulations ended the week 26/100ths of an inch above normal, providing ample moisture supplies for the continued development of corn and soybeans. However, growing degree day units since May 1 at 1,479 slipped further behind the historic average and now trail by 76 units. This is certainly not the best case scenario at a time when the corn crop would benefit more from normal to above normal temperatures. Overall, 60% of the corn crop was rated in good or excellent condition, the same as last week. Soybeans in the bloom stage were reported at 24%, compared to 37% 1 year ago and 69% for the 5-year average. 4% of the state's acreage was reported setting pods, and this compares to 5% 1 year ago and 20% normally. Leading the state in soybean blooming activity was the Central Crop Reporting District at 40%. Statewide, 57% of the soybean crop was rated in good or excellent condition, down 3 points from last week. Harvest of the soft red winter wheat crop is nearing completion at 93%. Last year on this date, we were at 91%, and 97% was the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 19, 2009. Temperatures averaged 7 degrees below normal across the state, and record lows were set in numerous areas towards the end of the week. Wheat conditions are mostly good or excellent and remain well above last year. Nearly all of the wheat is ripe. Harvest is over halfway complete. Corn conditions rated 82% good or excellent. Half of the corn is silked and is beginning to dough. Fungicides were being applied to control foliar diseases. Soybean conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Nearly two-thirds are blooming and are starting to set pods. Oat harvest is a quarter complete and conditions rated 90% good or excellent. Alfalfa second cutting is over two-thirds complete, conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Wild hay, pasture, and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 19, 2009. Topsoil moisture supplies held steady last week as rain fell across central and northern portions of the state. Precipitation totals from Tuesday's thunderstorms were varied, with amounts ranging from under 1/2 to over 3 inches of rain. 61% of topsoil was rated adequate to surplus for moisture, up from 60% last week. The week was cool as daytime highs were generally 5 to 10 degrees below normal in most locations. Statewide, there were 5.5 days suitable for field work. As of Sunday, 11% of corn was at or beyond the silking stage, 5% ahead of last year, but 28% behind the 5-year average. 78% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition, down 4% from last week. 39% of soybeans were blooming, 8% behind last year, and 24% behind average. Soybeans were rated in 71% good to excellent, down 3% from last week. Producers continue to monitor soybean aphid populations, which have been low thus far. This is Dan Loftus for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 19th. Showers across the state brought relief to some of the drier areas. A return to another week of unseasonably cool temperatures, actually temperatures lower than the beginning of July, raised farmers' concern for crop development across the state. Some soybean farmers finished planting double crop soybeans while others are still spraying. Topsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 22% short, 62% adequate, and 14% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 2% very short, 17% short, 69% adequate, and 12% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.01 to 2.6 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 87 to a low of 43 degrees. For the week, there were 5.3 days rated as suitable for field work. 28% of the planted corn acreage has silk, compared with 34% for last year and 64% for the 5-year average. Corn condition for the week was rated at 65% good to excellent, compared with 63% for last year at this time. 33% of the planted soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 36% last year at this time and 55% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition is rated at 63% good to excellent, compared with 58% last year at this time. Harvesting of the winter wheat acreage is 96% complete, compared to 90% last year and 96% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, and Nebraska for their updates each and every week on crop conditions in their regions. You are listening to Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It is a land-grant institution. It's a Tuesday afternoon, time to check in on the weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energies. On the line with us this afternoon from the Louis Dreyfus Commodities Office in Kansas City is Mike Barwinski. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon.
You are in charge of helping to maintain the profitability of Louis Dreyfus ethanol plants. Can you tell me, has that job been getting easier?
Well, definitely the last month and a half in the nearby market, things have gotten a little easier, mostly because we think a little tightness on supply. And with our blending margins being so well over variable for so long, it was only a matter of time before the demand caught up with supply. And now we've for a little short while here we've gone a little bit overboard. So in the next few months we're adding a few more plants on. It should swing back pretty quickly.
So your suggestion to this point was that the blend was over what was. Over what was demanded by the government, correct?
Exactly.
And then we got to a point where it can't be any more simply because there's not that much capacity within the industry?
Well, there the capacity is there.
It's not operating capacity.
It's the profitability of it. Right now, it's pretty much profitable to blend ethanol everywhere. So where it is capable of being blended, people are starting to do it.
Okay. So but your fear then, again, of course, is that there are more plants that will come back online or will come back up to full production.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking out 6 months to a year from now, the forward market is really trying to make sure that that doesn't happen. The forward margins, look pretty bad.
Well, what does that tell you about the ethanol industry as a whole then?
I think as a whole, it's still healthy enough for the plants that are open, operational, running today. Still going to be an environment where they can make money and continue operating. You're going to be over your variable costs. I think for plants that are, being built today, it's going to be a lot tougher of an environment.
Will they be able to become profitable, or will they have to fold up or be purchased before that happens?
I think they are going to, have to continue at the pace they are today.
Okay. And then finally, there has been some discussion, and I talked about this earlier in the show, that that corn is at a balance with oil when it's just about half of the price of oil, or if you look at $64 oil and $3.20 corn. Is that something you've made note of?
Yeah, there has been, somewhat of a corn-to-crude correlation available. Ethanol, for the most part, it falls corn, but it has gotten a lot of support recently, even with corn going down.
All right, thanks much.
All right, thank you, Ted.
Mike Barwinski is with Louis Dreyfus Commodities, joined us from his Kansas City office. We talk about the agricultural energies once a week on Tuesdays, right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We'll talk about the agricultural weather, as we do every business day, in just 2 minutes.
It's Junk Food Day. What constitutes junk food is often in the eye of the beholder. What constitutes unhealthy food includes elements of cultural influences, class snobbery, and moral judgment, and, of course, quantitative measurements such as calories. On this day in agricultural history in 1694, George Brandt was born. Brandt, a Swedish chemist, discovered cobalt, which is added to steel to make it harder and have a higher melting point. Cobalt is also an essential part of vitamin B12. In 1873, it rained ants in Nancy, France. In 1917, the U.S. Senate voted on a food bill that, among other things, fixed the minimum price for wheat of $1.50 a bushel. In 1983, a new low record temperature was recorded at Vostok Station, Antarctica. minus 128.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And in 2006, the U.S. Senate voted after 2 days of emotional debate to expand federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, sending the measure to President George Bush for a promised veto. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to Illinois Public Media. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming is on the phone with us this afternoon. Hi, Don.
Hello there, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Hey, it is a gorgeous day again here in the Midwest. Gorgeous meaning it's not really all that hot. And it looks like we've developed this from just a temporary sort of thing to a bit more persistent. What do you say?
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. We're going to put together at least another week or longer of subnormal temperatures across most of the nation's midsection, basically from the Missouri and Mississippi rivers east through the Great Lakes, through the Corn Belt. Temperatures are going to average well below normal. As a pattern where low pressure will sit over south central Canada and the Great Lakes will just basically sit there and get recharged with cooler surges of air in from the north and west. So we are going to do very little in terms of gaining ground with any heating degree day or corn degree day accumulation at all. Heat unit accumulation is going to be poor. The center of the coldest temperatures will be right here, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, and the southern Great Lakes and the eastern Ohio Valley.
We'll be falling behind pretty quickly, I would think, then.
Yeah, and I tell you, the pattern is going to stay probably into early August like this. The only real hot area of the country is right along the West Coast. You're going to see some hot weather from the Pacific Northwest to California. But basically, from the Rockies and High Plains east all the way to the East Coast, up in New England, the nation is going to be at or well below normal temperature-wise through the end of this month.
Well, we'll try to catch up on those growing degree days later then. Tell me about what's been happening on the rest of the planet. We've been focusing on a lot of the cool weather here in the Midwest, certainly the cool daytime highs. Cool nighttime lows are okay. The daytime highs are where we pick up those growing degree days. But how about in China, where they've got a corn crop in the middle of its season, too?
Well, when it comes to temperatures over there, they're doing a little better. However, many areas of China will be looking at temperatures that are either going to be at or slightly below normal. Now, it's not as cool in China's growing areas as it will be here in the Corn Belt Midwest, but they're not going to gain much ground either in terms of crop development ahead of us. And when it comes to precipitation, usually when you have cooler than normal temperatures, you usually have at or above normal chances for moisture, and that's what they're going to have as well.
I've always thought that China wasn't nearly as cool as we were, so that's okay. Oh, I shouldn't do that. What else is on the weather that we need to talk about? Anything?
Well, we can go take a look at Europe, and Europe is a little bit warmer. In fact, if there's any growing area that's going to be able to gain some ground with some crop development, it'll be most of Central, Western, and Eastern Europe, the Ukraine, going to have at least at or slightly above normal temperatures and near normal precipitation. But really, Todd, most of the northern hemisphere is pretty cool.
All right. Thanks much. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.